Hello, this is Dan Sheridan, and this is number one of a new series entitled God's Aeonian Purpose. Number 1A, again, it's called God's Aeonian Purpose, and this phrase aeonian comes from the word ages. We say sometimes ages or eons, and we chose the word eon over ages because I think it's better in the translations. In the Bible, we never read of eternity. I know that the versions talk about eternity or everlasting or eternal, but those are translations of a Greek word that means eons or ages. In the Bible, we don't speak of eternity, but we speak of the ages. If eternity means anything, it means something that doesn't have a beginning. It does not have an end. And friends, that's a concept that God does not burden our minds with. We are given the ages in the scriptures. As a matter of fact, we read in the Bible, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we read the end. There's an end of time. Then cometh the end, or thereafter the consummation, that God may be all in all. In the beginning, God was all. In the end, at the consummation, God will be all in all. So it's a great book. We have a book in our hands, the Bible. It's a book of purpose. And God has a purpose in this creation. And the Bible is a book of purpose. And in the Bible, we read what takes place during the eons. And so our series, that's why we've chosen the title, God's Aeonian Purpose. And what takes place, what took place before creation, and what will take place after the eons are done, we know very little. God doesn't tell us what takes place in what we call so-called eternity. But all we know is that in the beginning, Elohim, and in the consummation, God will be all in all. And I know that will be wonderful, but we're dealing with the ages in Scripture, or the eons. And so we're going to discuss God's Aeonian purposes in the programs to come. Now, first of all, as we're in part one of this series, part 1A, I want to talk to you about the sacred scriptures. Before we get into the details of the scriptures themselves, I want to give you a little talk about why I believe that the scriptures, the Bible, is better than any other book out there. And we definitely are not wishy-washy in that respect. We stand and say that God's Word is better than any other so-called holy book or philosophy of man regarding mankind, his nature, and his destiny. We believe only the Bible presents facts, and the rest are just speculations. Well, first of all, are the scriptures of God or man? That's a great question. A lot of people ask that. Is this Bible, is this really of God or is it of man? Now, this is a question that many people are asking, and it's in the hearts of many men. In other words, did God write them, or are they simply a collection of the writings of men? Now, if these scriptures are simply a collection of man's writings without divine guidance, they are no more reliable than fallible man. But if God wrote them, they must be true, and we can depend on their admonitions and teachings, their prophecies and promises. Now, to discuss a few other items here, many people study comparative religions. And we made the claim here that we believe that the Bible is better and gives facts more than any other religious book in the world. And so let's just look at a few of the great religions of the world. First of all, we'll talk about Brahmanism. Now, this has about 250 million followers in India, and they're loyal to their holy books, and the holy books are called the Vedas. And that word Vedas means knowledge or sacred science. And these writings are really a vast literature of psalms and magic spells for recitation at the altar in order to get a firmer hold on the gods. That's Brahmanism. Now, another writing is from what we call Buddha and Buddhism, and they have a book called the Tripitaka. Now, Buddhism has over 500 million followers in China and Japan. Now, Buddha was the first practical psychologist, and we should note that his system is not really religious in the popular sense of the term, for there is no mention of prayer in his writings, or of ceremony, or God, or Satan, or any supernatural beings. It is purely a philosophical psychology, and this delusion has been leading thousands from the truth. And then comes Mohammedism, as become very popular in our day, or Islam, with over, well, I don't know, the number is very high now, probably close to 350 million, maybe even more, and they follow him in Turkey and the countries around Turkey, and we hear a lot about Iraq and Iran and so forth, and they believe in their writings called the Quran, and what the Quran does is it claims all the promises of Abraham through his firstborn Ishmael. And we know that the Bible takes them through Isaac. And there are many other religions making great claims and give fascinating promises, but we're just going to stick with these three for now. Now, I want to say this right off the bat, if you're listening, and I don't know if anyone listens to this program who may hold to these three religions, Brahmanism, or they follow Buddha, or if you follow Islam, I don't hate you, and neither does the God of the Bible. As a matter of fact, I would say to anyone who are following these religions, we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. We have a Savior that solves the problem of sin and death. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just had to give a little word there to those listening. Now, the question is going to be asked, how do we know that the writings of Brahmanism, or the writings of Buddha, or the writings of Islam, the Quran, how do we know that those writings are not as authentic and genuine as the writings that we call the sacred scriptures? How do we know this? How do we know that the Bible is better than any of these other writings? And there are many evidences to show why they do not compare with the sacred scriptures. And so we're going to get into a few of them from the scriptures themselves. So why is the Bible better? Why is the God of sacred scripture, and I'm not talking about the God of Christendom or the God of man's imagination, I'm talking about the God who has revealed himself. And by the way, friends, the best way to find out about God is not by a clergyman, but is to go to the scriptures themselves properly translated. And so, first of all, here are some differences. Number one, in the sacred scriptures, we find the one God, the Father, speaking and revealing himself. So, in the sacred scriptures, we find God telling us about himself. And this is the great thing about the sacred scriptures. God did not give us the sacred scriptures so that we might interpret them. He gave us the sacred scriptures so he can interpret himself to us and his ways to us. And so in the scriptures, God reveals himself. However, in all other writings, all other religious writings, we find man speaking of and trying to reveal his God. What a difference. There it's man's effort to explain God, where in the Bible it's God revealing himself. Now a second reason that we believe that the Bible, the sacred scriptures, are more genuine, and they are genuine as opposed to other religious literature, is too, we believe that the scriptures teach, this is one of the reasons we believe it's better, is that the scriptures, sacred scriptures, teach that, according to Romans 5:12, that through one man, sin entered into the world, and through sin, death. And thus death came through into all mankind, on which all sinned. So the scriptures tell us how sin and death entered into the world. All the other writings deny this, and they believe Satan's lie. What is Satan's lie? He told Eve in the garden, "You will not surely die." And this is the teaching of a continuous conscious existence. See, this is an interesting statement. The Bibles tell us how death came into the world, whereas the religions of men say there is no such thing as death. They say that man never really dies, he just dies and he lives in a better place. And that's a false teaching, friends, and we need to realize that. Now, number three, we believe that the sacred scriptures reveal that Christ was manifested indeed to abolish death and illuminate life and incorruption through the evangel or good news. So, a third reason we believe the Bible is better is because not only, as we pointed out, number two, did it teach us, that show us where sin and death came from, is three, it teaches us that It's through the Christ, it presents a Savior who solves the problem of death and sin, and that's Christ Jesus. All the other writings deny this great truth and destroy the blessed hope of the resurrection by teaching that there is no death and things of that nature. But the Bible is truthful. It shows us the source of sin and death, and also shows us the Savior from sin and death. And number four, we believe that the Bible is better because the sacred scriptures teach that Christ alone has immortality. And that's found in 1 Timothy 6:16. And that the living saints will be changed from mortal to immortal, and those who are reposing will put on incorruption and the resurrection at his coming. Friends, this gives me the chills. This is why you cannot find this in Buddhism or in Brahmanism or in the Quran. The Quran doesn't, none of these books tell us how sin came into the world. None of these books show us how sin is gonna be overcome. And none of these, books teach how you and I will eventually overcome sin and death. So the scriptures teach all these. They teach that sin came into the world through Adam. The scriptures teach that Christ came to abolish death. And it also teaches that we will be raised incorruptible, and that one day we will be given bodies that will no longer be under sin and death. We'll continue this next time.